All right, welcome back to Real Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and we're going to be talking all things faith and practice on this Bible Line exclusive interview. Make sure to subscribe, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Still a large portion of you are listening on iHeartRadio. That always surprises me, but I'm very glad to see it. And we're going to be posting these episodes every Wednesday at 3 p.m. And I'm just talking to you. Right now we're going through the notes on personal evangelism. It is a course I'm teaching right now at Florida Bible College here in Tampa, Florida. And we are enrolling students. So if you're interested in educating yourself on the Bible without any kind of man-made theology thrown in there, I would strongly encourage FBC. I'm a graduate, graduated in 2017. And it's really one of the greatest decisions I've made in my journey of studying the Bible was learning how to rightly divide the word. And, you know, when we're talking about all these different things, primarily we're going through the 7 points of the gospel. And as I've said before, these are just points. They're not things that you absolutely have to believe in order to get saved, but we want to know where people are, and this kind of gauges where people are. I'm about to start a series tonight at church in our midweek prayer service called Thoughts on Soul Winning, and the first two messages are a part one and two with the title Fishing with the Right Bait. I am not a fisherman as far as catching fish in the water, so I don't necessarily know the importance of, you know, specific bait. Like, I can't give you names and products and things like that, but I do recognize the importance of having the right bait. You want to catch a certain kind of fish, you can put any bait on the line, but you're going to have a better chance of success if you know what kind of fish you're going after. What bait do they like? And this is so important when it comes to soul winning. And the 7 points help you find, you know, what kind of bait you need to use. And we've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks. But what I want to cover today is point number 5, which is the most important point. These last 3 points, really 5, 6, and 7, are extremely important because this is the call to action. This is what must I do to be saved. When we're thinking about all that a person has to understand in order for them to receive the free gift of everlasting life, points number 5, 6, and 7 tell what those are. And so let's look at them. Point number 5 is that Jesus Christ died and paid for all our sin. One of my favorite verses, and if you've listened to me long enough, you know that when I say one of my favorite verses, it's really just any Bible verse that plainly teaches salvation is by faith in Christ. And I've got plenty of favorites, but those are my favorite favorites, I guess you could say. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of those verses, and it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, what this passage is teaching is that Jesus Christ was literally made to be sin for us, and that Jesus knew no sin. There's another really good reference point for that, and it's in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, specifically there in verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So this is a beautiful reminder that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. I do not believe that he had the ability to sin and chose not to. I do not believe he had a sinful nature and chose not to use it. I think that he was second Adam in that he had no sin. There was no sin in him. His human nature was sinless, and he also had and has a divine nature. "A body hast thou prepared for me. The shedding of blood is no, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." So I think that Jesus Christ had a physical body with real blood. He had real temptation, but he was never able to sin. This verse in Hebrews 4:15 reminds us he was tempted. He was tried and tested in all points like we have been. But the very important thing here is that he was without sin. So why I bring that up is because 2 Corinthians 5:21 is building off of that truth. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Now, Jesus Christ becoming sin was not sinful, but his death was vicarious in that through him we are healed. And this is the whole crux of Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road. The question that has to be answered is there any other way of salvation? Because if salvation can be attained by another person, or if salvation can be attained by good works, then the death of Christ, the shedding of his blood, was of no real purpose because it's just one of many ways. This is why I disagree with the statement, all religious roads lead to heaven. And usually religious is not in that sentence, but it's all roads lead to God or lead to heaven. The Islamic believer is getting to heaven just in a different way. The Buddhist is achieving their form of heaven just in a different way. We're all going to be there in the end, and there's multiple different saviors. We know that that is not true, and that is why Jesus had to be made sin for us. He took on what separated us from God, and it's sin. He hath made him, the he first here, for he is God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. And that is all those who have believed. Okay, and this is very important in context here. Paul is talking about people who have already put their faith in Christ. But for those who are yet to be saved, you can be a part of this group by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, speaking just on the topic that's been coming up recently about election and whether election is individualistic or if it is corporate, we have to remember that the elected person is the Christ. That's Jesus. He is God's elect. And all of those who believe are placed into the elect Son of God, and therefore they become a part of the elect. So salvation is not individually elected. Salvation is corporate election. We're found in one person, the whole group. I have heard it illustrated many different ways, but for the sake of time and staying on topic, we won't go into all that. Rest assured that will be a part of our conversation down the road on this Bible Line exclusive Real Talk. But what we're looking at here is, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Us as those who, you know, it's all the sin of all the world, but that payment does not apply until you believe. And we will talk about that as we continue through our topic today. But I made a statement earlier that I said, you all know that Jesus is the only way. And, you know, maybe you don't know that. And I want to show you that John chapter 14, Jesus makes the very controversial but entirely true statement that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll tell you why it's controversial and tell you why it's a true statement. So Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The reason why these statements are true is because Jesus Christ rose back from the dead. He came back from the dead. In John chapter 10, which was just four chapters behind John 14 that we were just looking at, Jesus is talking about the power that he has to lay down his life and to take it up again. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He then goes on to promise in John 10:28, and I give unto them the sheep that hear my voice, and they are known of Christ. That is because they have believed. They will have, as a gift from God, through his Son Jesus Christ, Jesus is the one who gives the gift, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, over there in Luke chapter 24, where we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ recorded, when the women come to the grave and they are ready to prepare the body of Jesus Christ because it had been the third day, they are reminded by the two angels in verse 7 of Luke 24, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And verse 8 says that they, the women, they remember that Jesus had said that. He said that earlier back in Luke chapter 9, that these things have to come to pass. Now, what is significant is that Jesus did come back from the dead, and that is what gives him all authority and power to the unconverted world. Whether people want to believe that it is true or not, it does not change the fact of what happened. Jesus did rise from the dead, and therefore there is no other way to heaven than through him. He has already established that way. And by faith in Christ, you receive that eternal life, and you'll be able to go to heaven where he is. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, those who believe, might be made the righteousness of God in him." So the righteousness, the perfection that is required for a person to get to heaven, is given to the person who believes on Christ because they are placed in him. So he takes your sins and doesn't ask you to do anything about that sin. They are all paid for. He offers you, Jesus offers you his righteousness and asks that you simply accept it. His righteousness is offered unto all, but it is only upon those who believe. So I want to talk about this for just a second. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 1, there is a very clear set of instructions that are given to believers. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our mediator. He mediates by his shed blood." But verse 2 tells us that he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. So he is the substitute for our sins. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is the kryptonite for Calvinism. This is the silver bullet. This is the truth, that Jesus Christ not only interceded for those who would believe or those who have believed, he interceded for those who have yet to believe. He paid for their sin as well. But why aren't those people automatically saved? If there's a payment for sin already made, then why hasn't God just accepted that? Because God's only requirement is that you believe. And this is why this is the most important point or set of points in the gospel illustration. You've just spent all this time establishing what they already know. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death." They understand that. Maybe they didn't understand that perfection was required to get to heaven. Maybe they thought that there was a set of good works and good deeds that they could do in order to get them there. You've now shown them the truth of the scripture, and now you're delivering to them the answer. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that we receive the remission of sin. Romans chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 say this, "And therefore it was imputed." That word imputed is an archaic word. We still use it in banking terms today, but imputed means put to. Okay, it's best understood as put to someone's account, put to someone's possession. Okay. "When I die, my wealth, however little it is, will be imputed to those who are survived beyond me, like my daughter or my wife. They would get what I had. It would be imputed to them. When I make a credit card payment, that money is put to the account balance. It is imputed. Okay, it is given. It's put to. I hope that makes sense. So understanding that word, we can see how it is defined and see how it's used in this verse. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Belief in God does not mean merely that he exists, but it is to believe the record. When it says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, it's speaking about believing God. And what is God saying? Believe on my son. You believe on Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 10 gives us the record in which God has held himself to and asked all men to believe for eternal life. Here's what it says. 1 John 5:10. If we believe on the Son of God, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And I believe that's the Spirit that seals the believer. He that believeth not God hath made him, God, a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave of his Son. 11, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you go back to Romans 4, 22 through 24, you can see how this makes sense, where it says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone. Who is his sake? That's Abraham, contextually speaking. I mean, Abraham is from the very beginning of Romans 4, but in Romans 4, 13, that's spoken of again. But what Paul is writing in Romans is saying that this imputation of righteousness is not just available to Abraham. It's available to all those who believe. And that's what he says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. When we believe, that righteousness of God is put to our account. Remember what it said at the end of 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made the righteousness is the same as saying imputed. And Romans 4, 22 through 24 tell us, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, then that righteousness which Abraham experienced by believing God, we also experience that imputation of righteousness. Romans 4, 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, Jesus, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith in Christ is counted for righteousness. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And this is, again, Paul talking about how the good works and obeying the law, how that is not good enough. We have to be found in Christ. How does that happen? When we believe on him. And this is all proof of that fifth point. Christ died for the sins of the world. But continuing Philippians 3, 9, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. How do you get this righteousness? God will give you this righteousness. He is asking, by your faith, I will give you my righteousness. So when we use the wallet illustration, we have to understand that, or when we're using these seven points of the gospel, we have to understand that this is the call to action. It leads us right into point number six. Point number six says very clearly that when you believe on Jesus Christ, you receive the free gift of eternal life. Point number five is telling you very plainly that Jesus is the only way. Christ died for all sin. And since he died for all sin, there is none left to pay for. Colossians 2, 13 through 14, listen to this. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's not just fluffy language. That's literal. The sin was nailed to him on his cross. He became sin for us. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. The last three, the earth was dark. The earth was dark because he became that sin for us. And it was nailed to his cross. The sin of all people living in the future was already paid. Christ only paid for the sins up to the time he died? No, that's not true. Then no one would be able to have a payment for sin afterwards. All trespasses here in Colossians 2 means all trespasses. So our sins are confessed, they're forgiven, and they're cleansed 100% in the death of Jesus Christ. And salvation only comes about by believing on him. We've already set that up throughout, you know, all the points that have been made so far on the Real Talk podcast and, or excuse me, on the Bibleline podcast with the Real Talk episodes. All these points have already been made. You can't earn your own righteousness. Therefore, the only way to receive that righteousness is through faith in Christ. He's the only option. And this is what people, I think they would agree with you. Many people, I mean, I'll just tell you my experience, they agree, but they don't really believe it. And what I mean by really believe it, and I'm not saying the intensity of their belief, they're not settled on it. They still think that there's something they have to do in order to be saved. I can't live like Hitler and still go to heaven. I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do so, but what Hitler did, all the things that he did were sinful. And Christ died for sin. It doesn't matter how much you sin or how little you sin. It's still sin. It has to be paid for, and Christ died for it. Your good works are not a valid accepted form of payment for your sin. So if you're still stuck on the fence, or the person you're trying to talk to is still stuck on the fence about, yeah, but I got to live a good life. I mean, that only makes sense. Yeah, it only makes sense if good works paid for sin, but they don't. Only faith in what Jesus Christ did, who paid for sin, and God accepted his payment, only faith in him results in eternal life. And why is this so hard for people to understand? Well, you have to remember there's an active blinding going on right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us about that, that the God of this world is blinding the minds of those that believe not. And when we don't share the gospel, we're party to that. Verse 3 in 2 Corinthians 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's pretty significant, and pretty clearly, it's a major, major act of blindness that's going on. So why do people have a hard time understanding the gospel? Number one, they have their own pride and lack of humility in the way. And number two, the devil has got a different message going on out there. I mean, this is the whole reason why we're doing a question and answer ministry at Calvary. I was always impressed with Dr. Hank Lindstrom. Just one of those guys that, man, I want to be like him. Not like him, you know, as he was as a man, although there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with that. But that man knew the word and submitted his life to the word. I want to do the same thing. And the reason why the question and answer genre is so lucrative and so beneficial and so needed is because people are not getting clear answers. I'm seeing a ton of stuff out there that just is requiring people to repent of their sins, be really, really sorry for their sin in order to be saved. I mean, the church that I grew up in just left they're still around, and they're a big Baptist church, so it makes sense that they're still around, but they just left a pamphlet on my in-law's door handle, and in the back of that pamphlet it says, good works don't save you. You're only saved by faith in Christ alone. Therefore, in order to get saved, you have to, and it's a picture and it's steps leading up to the cross. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to ask. And then you have to receive. None of that is in the Bible. The only thing that is in there is repent and believe. And repent, in the Baptist terminology, at least the Baptist church that I grew up in, means to turn from sin. And the Bible says it means to change your mind. Repent and believing are one and the same thing. When you repent, you change your mind, which is to believe on Jesus Christ for eternal life. We're shooting testimony videos over the next few weeks here, and we're talking to people who have detailed their story of repentance. What they used to think was required to get to heaven, what they found out, and what they did, which is repent. They changed their mind and put their faith in Christ. All these things are important to understand because there's an active blinding that's going on out there. And this is why we're doing all that we're doing here, because people still need repentance. They need to change their mind. And they have to change their mind about a couple of different things, maybe, before they change their mind about Christ. But understanding the completeness of salvation only being by faith in Christ is the way a person gets saved. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They receive the righteousness of God. It's imputed to their account. So next week, we'll wrap up with point number 7, and which I think is probably one of the more contentious points after a person gets saved. You know, this is how they get wrapped up into things like Arminianism and Calvinism and all that. But we'll talk about that next week. I sincerely thank you for your support. Don't forget, if you have a Bible question of your own, open up your email client and send us an email. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. And make sure you're here all week. We post audio uploads that we do on YouTube, but make sure you're here next Wednesday at 3 p.m. so that we can be ready for another Real Life Talk. This has been Real Life Talk with Pastor Jesse Martinez, where we talk all things faith and practice. Until next time, keep looking up, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.